Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 35. We're preaching these days on little, L-I-T-T-L-E. And our emphasis is if you can embrace and relate to the little in your life, God will take care of the big. So many times we are striving to rise within ourselves to be somebody. And God is trying to keep us low, because it's in those places that He begins His work. If He's going to kill a giant, He'll use a little stone. If He's going to feed a multitude, He'll use a few little fish and some bread. Yes. And so it is in all of our lives. We don't need to be in despair because we feel little and seem little. Because all of God's works that are eternal come out of little things. We noticed this morning how that a little sinner is much when God's want to is in him. And how it seemed as though in that text that Zacchaeus wanted what Jesus wanted, and Jesus wanted what Zacchaeus wanted. And if that's the case, all hell can't stop what you both want. And I'm glad that that's so. But I want to look tonight and emphasize this text. And I'm thinking about these little ships that the Scripture talks about. Now that Jesus is on board with His disciples, and then the Scripture says in verse number 36, and there were also with Him other little ships. Now we always emphasize the one ship, and we always talk about who's on board that ship and all their responses that came out of that ship, and nothing's ever mentioned about the other little ships because I guess we think that they're little and not that much to be said. But I want to say to you that little is much as far as these little ships are concerned. Even the little ships are much when God's Son is with them. It's not the size of the storm nor how big the boat is. It's who's with you that counts. And the Bible said, and there were with Him other little ships. So let's read these verses, and I want to say three or four things about them in these moments tonight. The Bible said in verse number 35, and the same day when even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him. I like this phrase, even as He was. In the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. Did you see that? And there arose a great. Now, when the Holy Ghost says it's a great storm, and the Word of God says it's a great storm, we're not just operating off the emotions of the disciples when they got off the boat in an exaggeration. Believe me, it was a great storm. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Full. Did you catch that? And no room for any more water. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep, on a pillow. And they awake Him and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was, here's that word again, a great calm. I don't know that we could ever appreciate the great calm without first experiencing the great storm. Somebody said, well, why does God allow these things in our lives? So you can see the difference. And that's where that thankfulness comes from. Once you've been through the great storm, you'll be thankful for the great calm. You won't take it for granted. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? One of the modes of travel, of course, that Jesus used in his ministry was the boat or the ship. And it is here that Jesus gets in this boat with the disciples. And he says to them, let us go to the other side. But yet we are informed by the Holy Ghost that it's not the only one out there, but there are some other little ships. I want to say three or four things about that. I'm thinking about this storm and these ships. I want to major on that other for a moment to bring us to that little ship. And in my first thought, I want to emphasize the disciples. As I think about the storm that is raging and the disciples who are on board the one ship with Christ, the storm is raging, the ship is full. But we are brought to understand that while they are in the midst of their storm, there are some others in the storm also. Which leads me to say that in the midst of the storm, there will always be others. Let us not wear our weather on our sleeves, or our chip, so to speak, on our shoulders as if we're the only ones that's going through anything. And it may seem that way at times. But I assure you, you will never be the only one in a storm. Amen. If somehow you could see beyond the rain and the wind and the foam and the waves, you realize that there's some other people out there that are in the storm also. There are other people out there that's facing the storm also. Amen. But even beyond that, the thing that leaped out to me is the reason for this storm. These disciples are on board this ship. He is, of course, for 3.5 years training and teaching these disciples. That's what they are, the learned ones. He is preparing them to take this great gospel as ambassadors to the world. But yet there's so much that they need to learn, and they need to be taken to school, and they need to be taught. And so he takes those disciples out here, and we find the whole reason for this storm is indicated in this scripture. Because he says to them, and he brings to their attention in verse number 40, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? It is a faith problem that they have. And they are brought into this overwhelming situation and circumstance, and in the midst of it, to be taught that Jesus is enough and more than enough for the greatest storm that you could ever face if you could believe him for it. So he's teaching them something about their faith, which leads me to say the storm was basically for them. But isn't it amazing how that while God is teaching and God is instructing and God is maneuvering and God is working on one of his children, he will never work on one of his children, but what the wave effects won't reach out and touch somebody else. Amen. There will be the cause and the effect. how that we need to realize that not only are there others in the storm when we're going through the storm, but a lot of times you'll have a wife that's in a storm that is your storm, and if you weren't going through what you were going through, she'd never be going through what she's going through, but she's pulled into it.
Amen.
Or you'll have a husband that is having to experience the weight of the burden of what a wife is going through. And that he would never have to go through that had not God allowed this to be true in her life. It just happens that way, but we ought to part for a while, and we ought to look in sympathy to those who are out on rough waters that are created for our benefit.
Amen.
That he's not really saying anything to them. He's using the storm to teach them. And now there will be times that he'll use storms to teach these or other events, but for this case, he's teaching the disciples, but the others are going through it also with them. There are times when parents get old and they cannot sustain themselves, and with whatever the sickness or whatever the situation is, the children are pulled right into that storm. They have no recluse. They have no way out of it. They have to be a part of it. And there are times that the children will go through some events and the parents will be pulled into the midst of that. There are times that brothers and sisters will face some storms and it will bring the other brother or the other sister in. What I'm simply saying to you, every now and then, we might all embrace the others that are on the other little ships and say, at least, you know, I realize that you're going through this for me. And I realize that you're having to face this storm and these waves simply because God is doing something in my life.
Oh, yes.
And I found that true and even in marriage, as far as husband and wife relationships, that the things that affect me affect my wife.
Yes.
And the things that affect her will affect me. And she'll have to go through a lot of stuff just because of what I'm going through. I mean, the call of God on my life has had a rippling effect that has brought her into whatever the storms that have come as a result of the ministry.
Yes.
Or in the physical ailments that I have, she has to be a part of that. And then the things that are going on in her life. But hey, what I want to say to you is don't ever sit around and pout and feel as though that you're the only one going through what you're going through. Yes, God's teaching you something that while you're there, you're not the only one. There's some others. There's some other little ships. And a lot of those times, those other little ships are going through your storm.
Oh, yes.
And let us have the heart to say thank you or to give appreciation for those who are sailing the waters. Can you see it here? He's teaching his disciples, but the other little ships are sucked into it. No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. Somebody will always be touched by what you're going through.
Amen. Yes.
Let us show appreciation.
Yes, Lord.
And I don't know about you. I don't want others to have trouble, but there's a little bit of comfort to know I ain't the only one out there. I don't want to be selfish, but that's just so. The cause and the effect. So I say to you, first of all, in the midst of the storm, there will always be others. There's always going to be others. The second thing that I would emphasize out of this is I talk about these other little ships, these little ships, they're much because God's Son is with them. Don't underestimate the little ships. But the second thing I would suggest to you, I want to emphasize not only the disciples, but I want to emphasize now the distinctions between the other little ships and the ship that Jesus is on. I say distinctions. Really what I should say is I want to emphasize the lacking of distinction. I do not know, and here is what I want to emphasize to you in my thought. As far as these other little ships are concerned, not only will there always be others, but in the midst of the storm, there are times in which there seems to be no others, because what's going on this ship, I would conjecture is going on in all the ships.
Yes.
When I'm thinking about, here's what I'm thinking about, is the spirits, the reactions, the attitudes of the people that are having to go through the storms. Because it seems as though that if there's one thing that brings a commonality between all people, it's a storm. Because it seems to bring out the worst of fears and reveals that we are made of flesh and bone. And if I am reading the scriptures correctly on this ship that Jesus is on, someone could say, you know what, I tell you, in the midst of that storm, I wish I could have been on board with the ship with Jesus on, because I bet over there they were probably singing, wonderful peace, wonderful peace. If you get on board that ship, I'll tell you, it would just been glorious as to how they went through it. They probably went through it untouched, unscathed. They just probably went through it singing praises unto God. Well, I want to tell you, first of all, in honesty, that's not the way I've went through many of my storms, most of them, as a matter of fact. And that's not what the disciples, how they responded in the midst of the storm. I know how they reacted to the storm. The scripture tells us how they reacted to the storm. They woke Jesus up and they said unto him in an accusative form, "Carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? What are you, the last thing we need now is a lazy Jesus. What are you doing asleep? And we are in the midst of a great storm. Would you get up?" They're trying to arouse him. They're trying to alert him, because that's what's going on inside of them. They are stressed and they are fighting. They are trying to control the storm, and they are trying to control him, but he's at peace, because what he's going to do is use the storm to change them. That's the whole purpose of it. But really, if you could hear, and the scripture does not tell us what's going on these other ships, but you can imagine they don't even have Jesus on board those ships. And if they're all out of sorts over here, you know that these guys have to be so also. In other words, there really seems to be no other ships as far as it's concerned. What's happening in spirit on this ship is probably happening in spirit on all of those ships. I think of that in my own ministry. I said, "Lord, why do you send me across the country preaching the gospel to people that I seem not to be responding to storms any better than what they are?" And I often say, if you knew me like I know me, you probably wouldn't want to hear me preach. But now don't reach up and turn your halo up. If I knew you like you know you, I probably wouldn't want to preach to you. But I found in my relationship with people is that exactly what they are. They're people. And that's why God sends the storms, to show you what is on the inside. There's so much that is lying as sediments on the bottom of our hearts that as long as there's no wind and there's no rain and there's no threat, we never even know it's down there. And boy, we can just talk about how great fishermen we are. I guess if you'd interviewed Simon Peter, he could have told you all about waters and how many hours he spent out there and how many days and how many storms he's been through and how he knows how to master the ship during the midst of the storm. But he ain't never been through a storm like this. Honey, if you was to try to interview him during the storm, I'd been the worst interview you ever had.
Yes.
I mean, he's busy throwing water and giving, you know, they're oaring and everything else. And the worst of the worst is coming out of them, because God uses the storm to show you really how bad you are.
Yes.
If my wife was here, grandyoungin. Which in this little segment, I'm glad she's not. But she would verify that I'm a wonderful husband, I think. Don't call her. And nobody filmed this. She would tell you that I was a wonderful husband.
Yes.
A good Christian.
Yes.
A loving father.
Amen.
As long as everything's going my way.
Amen.
But isn't that true? That the storms can seem to turn you, and they don't even have to be big storms. I had a flat tire, I'm confessing now on that. Of course, we've had umpteen of them. I don't know, I should have invested in tires. But I had one on the interstate. I mean, the same wheel, the same one that's done it 20 times. And I'm so, my wife's trying to calm me down. I'm having a fit out there looking at that tire. We're going to sell it. We get back, we're getting rid of it. I'm done with it. She said, calm down, fix the flat. I got back in the car and I felt awful bad. I said, boy, here I am going to a meeting to tell them how to trust Jesus, and I'm all upset about a tire and how small that is. But isn't that true that it just seems to take? And there are some great storms, and the greater they are, it seems as though the more it reveals as to who we are. There's really no distinction between me and you when it comes to that. There's really no distinction. How we come into the house of God and we sing the songs of Zion and we preach the word of God and we testify, and then Monday morning we fall all apart. And you can't tell a bit of difference between us and somebody that don't even know Jesus. You say, how you know? Because I've been in situations where we thought it was going down. I was in an airplane coming back from Israel. For 4 solid hours, that plane rocked back and forth, a huge plane. And them wings just like a rubber band. And I'll tell you, it hit them air pockets and it dropped. You'd think it was gone. And then it hit like it landed somewhere and jolted and take back up. And I looked all around there, and I'll tell you, there's all kinds of different religions, and they's all doing what their religion taught them to do. And I was doing what mine taught me to do. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, hold this plane up, hold this plane. But the truth about it all is we all were scared to death that the plane was going down. I should have stood up and said, peace, be still. Everybody be quiet. It's going to be okay. But I couldn't. I was just like them. There are times, I'm thinking about these other little, there are times when there seems to be no others. We're all sucked in to the storm. These little ships as well as the ship that Jesus is on. Good as he is and as close as he is, we ought to act better than what we do. But we just don't. We just don't. You know, some have suggested, and I'll go on to my third thought, that the reason why Jesus woke those disciples up, and I probably preached this here, but I'll tell it to you again. The reason why he woke Jesus up is they wanted him to calm the winds and the seas. There's nothing any further from the truth. Because if that was so, why did they marvel and say, what manner of man is this? Then even the winds and seas obey his voice. They didn't believe he could do that. Somebody said, why'd they wake him up? Well, there was 12 of them. They put everything they could into it, and they thought if they had one more hand, one more guy, that maybe they might be able to tip the scales and get a little more water out than what was coming in. They was waking Jesus up to get an oar and a bucket.
Yes.
But the only problem is Jesus won't get in your boat to oar and to throw water. He ain't interested in that. But he will stand on the sides of the ship and speak peace and calm if you'll give it to him. Hallelujah. And what the disciples are having to learn in the midst of their faith and in the midst of their storm is to trust him and give it to him. Hallelujah. So, in the midst of the storm, there'll always be other little ships pulled into it with you. In the midst of the storm, sometimes there seems to be no other little ships. They all seem to be one and the same as far as distinction and spirit is concerned. But then thirdly, I would suggest to you that in the midst of the storm, I'm thinking about these other little ships, Jesus is the only one really that is not another. Other little ships. You got this ship and other little ships. But my thought here is how that the only one that's going to make a difference in this storm is the divine Son of God. There is no emphasis of the material that these ships are made up of. Whether it's the one that Jesus is on or whether it is the many other ships that are out there. There's no listing of those who are the captains of these little ships. There is no talk about the ships within themselves. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, I don't care if you've got Simon Peter on board, or you've got James on board, or if you've got one of the big disciples on board, or if you've got just Bill, or you've got Tom, or you've got Hank, all of you is going under. All the ships are going under. All those other ships, all the ships are the others going under. There's only one that can stop this storm.
Yes.
And that's Jesus.
He's
the only one that is outside the realm of all those others.
Yes.
He's the only one that classifies beyond all those others because he's the one that has the power to calm the storm. And if he's not there, honey, there's not just one going down and two going down and three going down. And it's not just this one's going to float and those are not going to float. I'm going to tell you the whole shebang's going under.
Amen. Oh, yes.
They're all going down.
Yes.
But thank God Jesus is there. And he's separate from all the others. Is he not?
Yes, he is.
He is the one that's the difference maker as far as the storm is concerned. And you know, it dawned on me, they have to go across. They have to go through this storm. There's just no way around it. God has ordained this storm. They got to go through the storm. So what I was thinking is, if you got to go through a storm, I mean, if you got to sail through a storm, wouldn't it be better to go first class if you could? I mean, if you got to travel, you might as well just go ahead and go first class. You say, well, preacher, how in the world can you go through a storm? How can these disciples go through a storm first class? Well, go back to the text, and I'll emphasize it. Because Jesus, who is not one of those others, because Jesus is on board, there is a way to go through the storm. Notice in verse number 35, if you're going to go through the storm first class to the other side, first thing you got to do is you got to listen to the sound. Listen to the sound. Before the wind ever starts blowing and the rain ever stops falling, there is an eternal divine word of God that is forever settled in heaven. And you know what Jesus said? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words that if they had heard, it had made a difference in the midst of the... It's just how much weight are you going to place on what he said? I like those few verses in How Firm a Foundation. It said, what more can he say than what he has said? What more can he say than to you he has said? I mean, if that ain't going to be enough, then honey, you just have to get through it the best way you can. But I'd rather find a word that he's got that can give me some blessed assurance when the boat gets to rocking. And there's nothing that will stabilize you as an anchor like the Word of God will. And it's just this simple. If somebody could have hollered out and said, didn't you hear what Jesus said? Let us pass over, not under. Let us pass over, not under, to the other side.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm here to tell you, they're going to the other side, hell or high water, because he said you're going to the other side.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
And somebody said, what about what's coming out of Washington? What about what's coming out of D.C.? What about what's coming out? Honey, I already got a word for my life. I'm going to the other side. I don't care what breaks loose. I'm headed to the other side. I got a word for the other side. I'm a banking not on an election, honey. I'm a banking on what is said in this book to get me over. I ain't depending on the left nor the right. Republicans and the Democrats, because they've all got us in the mess we're in now. How do we think one of them's going to pull us out? Huh? Politics. Somebody said poly means many, and ticks is blood suckers. Did you hear that? Politics. Poly means many, and ticks are blood suckers. That's all they are. Every one of them. Huh? You think I'm going to listen to that outfit that claims to know everything, don't know nothing, they never have, or wouldn't be in the mess we're in? I'd just rather get a word from God. I just want Him having said to me, let us pass over unto the other side. That's first class right there. That's first class. But I'll tell you, not only do you need to hear the sound, but you got to lighten the ship. There's nothing any more dangerous than have a ship loaded down when a storm comes. You say, well, how much do we need to throw over? We throw it all over. You say, well, notice with me right here, I emphasize it when I read it. Verse number 36 said, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him and his prayer beads and his rosary as he went into the ship. They took him with his oar and his bucket into the ship. No, what's the scripture say? Even as he was. Honey, if he's going to ride your boat, he's coming alone. He don't need any of that other religious stuff. He don't need any buckets. He don't need any oars. He is enough. And if he's not enough for your storm, I'm going to tell you, you'll just have to sell it like it comes. But I'm glad Jesus is all I need even for the storm. The religious world is pulling everything it can think of into this thing called church, trying to add everything to it to keep her afloat. When I think it still needs to be just Jesus, and He'll be enough.
Amen.
Got to listen to the sound. You got to lighten the boat. And then you need to be likened to the Spirit of the Son. Somebody said, how am I supposed to act in the midst of the storm? I'll tell you what you need to do. Find Him. And whatever He's doing, that's what you need to do. And you said, well, what's He doing? The verse 38 says He's in the hinder part of the ship, not wringing His hands, but He is asleep. And I'm telling you, just about 10 times out of 10, when the storm and the wind gets blowing, it don't take a whole lot to upset us. The best thing we can do is just run somewhere and lay down and rest in His presence. And say, Lord, I'm not going to get all roused up about this. I'm not going to go grabbing oars and buckets. I'm not going to go screaming and hollering. I'm not going to try to settle. And I certainly ain't going to try to beat out the storm and whip the storm. I can't control all of that. But I can join in spirit with you and do what you're doing, and that's rest. That's what He always does, rest. And He invites us to rest in the midst of the storm. Boy, what a blessed way to travel when you can rest in Jesus.
Amen.
Even when the storm is raging. In the midst of the storm, there'll always be the other little ships. In the midst of the storm, it seems to be that there are no other little ships as far as the distinction is concerned. And in the midst of the storm, he's the only one that's not one of those others. He's the divine one that's taking care of you when the storm comes. But the last thing that I want to say to you is, in the midst of these storms, I'm thinking about these little ships, sometimes we personally feel like we are the others. We are so far from him, or he has removed himself so far from us. I'm thinking about those other ships that he's not physically on board with them. And I'm wondering, haven't there been those times in your life that you've tried to pray and you thought, well, Lord, did you not hear me, or do you not care? Are there times in your Christian life when he seems to be so far away? But yet you can look at the lives of your brothers and sisters and it seems like he's so close to them. And it seems as though that he's calmed the storm for them. And it seems like he's got everything in control. It seems like everything's just right in their life. But in your life, everything's turned upside down. And you're wondering where he's at. Maybe I'm just too small. Maybe I'm too insignificant. Maybe I'm just not one that he could... Lord, would you... Hey, Jesus, he's not looking this way. Hey, Jesus, can you? And it seems as though that nothing's happening. And you're all alone. You're all isolated. You've become almost an orphan. Have you ever had that feeling, even while you're the child of God? You know, as I looked at this text, it said other little ships. You might read that and think that he's differentiating between the boat he's on and the other boats as if these ships in size are smaller than his ship. But really, when you look at the rendering of it, it has nothing to do with the size of it. It just means that it's just like you talk about one car and there's other cars, or you talk about the one boat and there's other boats, or one person, there were other people there. There's no difference as far as the size is concerned. You know how I know that? I know, first of all, because the text doesn't indicate it, but I know, secondly, because Jesus wouldn't ride in big boats. So it had to be a little boat. You say, preacher, can you prove that in Scripture? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you look back in chapter number 3, Jesus never rides the big boats. Don't somehow think that if you were a bigger boat, he'd pay more attention to you, or you were a bigger ship, or you were a bigger church, or you were a bigger preacher, or you were a bigger whatever. He's not interested in size. It's not the size of the boat that concerns him. Chapter number 3 and verse number 9. And he spake to his disciples that a, what?
Small
ship should wait on him. Because of the multitude. He said, don't run off and get me no big ship. I don't need a yacht. He rides in the little ships. John chapter number 21 said, and the disciples came in a small ship. But hey, the emphasis is in the text. The Bible said, look at it again in verse number 36. And they took him even as he was in the ship. And they were also, I'm interested in these next two words, with him, other little ships. It's not who's in the boat. It's not what size the boat is. It's who you're with that counts and who's with you. And here's the Bible said, and I emphasized this on the play of words this morning about Zacchaeus. He wanted what Jesus wanted, and Jesus wanted what he wanted. And I guarantee you, if you want what he wants, he'll want what you want. And God can do some big things. But here's the truth about it. These ships, no matter which one it was, the Bible said these other little ships were with him. And if you're in the midst of the storm, no matter how bad it is,
If you want to be with Him, I promise you, He'll be with you. The key to it all is who's with you. Not the size of the storm, not the size of the ship, not who's on which ship, but who's with you in the midst of the storm. And He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus is physically on this boat. But you can't confine Him to one place. He is omnipresent. And while He's on this ship, I guarantee He's very aware and cognizant of all those other ships. He knows what's going on over there. And when the storm rages, He knows that that same raging storm that's affecting this ship is affecting all those other ships. And when He stands and He calls for peace and calm on the one ship, guess what it does for all the other ships? It brings a peace and a calm. I'm glad to report to you what He did for the Apostle Paul, He'll do for me. What He did for Simon Peter, He'll do for you. It ain't the big dogs and the high class and the real spiritual. It's just somebody that wants to be with Him. And it don't make no difference where it is. It can be in Podunk Holler. But if you're there, He'll be there with you if you want to be with Him. Hallelujah. There is no place that He cannot be. When one of His children are there and they want to be with Him, He's going to come to be with them, no matter the size. But here's the emphasis. You don't want to be caught out in the midst of the storm and be a big ship. Because truth of the matter is, you can't be too little for Jesus. Did you know that? You can never be too small for Jesus, but you can be too big. You don't want to be caught on the big side of Christ because they ain't much help nor hope for you. But honey, if you're interested in being with Him, even though you are little and insignificant, He is interested. He's interested in being with you. They had a documentary, and I know you've all seen them. We were privileged to see some of the relics of the Titanic that they have brought up. We were preaching a meeting in Detroit area, and they had it all on display. And we saw a lot of the articles there that belong to those people and to that ship. It's very intriguing. But the other day, I listened to a documentary. And here's the thing that jumped out to me. They said that over 1,500 people drowned in the Titanic when it went down. But they had those lifeboats on there, not enough for all of them. But each one of those lifeboats would hold 68 people. And they said when they began to retrieve those lifeboats onto another ship, that the first lifeboat they got had 22 people on it. That meant 46 people drowned that didn't have to. If they'd have just got off the big boat and got on the little boat. And they said by the time they retrieved all of those that there was enough seats for people to ride. There was like 700 and some seats to where they could ride. But yet by the time they counted it all up, you'll have to look at the statistics, there's some 400 and some people drowned that didn't have to drown because they didn't take the seat on the little boat. And here's what I imagine they probably, how they respond. Oh, no, I paid big bucks. I paid big bucks to ride the big ship where all the party's at. I'm not getting on the little boat. The only problem is if you're going to stay at the big ship, you're going under. I've got a nephew that was
witnessing to a CEO of a company who was a Jew. Could have been anybody else, but it was a Jew. And he said, when I mentioned the name of Christ to him, he said, I could see his face just contort, anger. He said, he spit back at me as he, in disdain, talked about this Christ. And God, haughty and proud. And he said, I went home that night fearful for that man. And he said, the Lord spoke to my heart, and I went back the next day and I approached him and I said to him, sir, God cannot help you. He said, he looked down at him and said, what do you mean God can't help me? He said, when God helps somebody, he either reaches out, as he did for Simon Peter, was going under, or he reaches down like he did with David and pulled him out of the pit. But he said, there's one direction God never reaches. He said, what's that? He said, up. He said, why? He said, because there ain't nobody above him. And he said, your problem is you're too big and you're too high to get any help from God. But hey, honey, if you're just one of those other little ships and you want to be with him, he'll be with you right in the midst of the storm. And when the storm is over, can you imagine those disciples coming back and saying and testifying about being out on the storm and how Jesus calmed the waves and how boisterous there was? And I can hear some of those fellows on the other little ship saying, well, that ain't nothing. He did the same for us also. And what he does for one, he'll do for the other. If you'll just be little and want him, he will draw nigh to those who will draw nigh to him. I don't mind being one of those others as long as I know he's with me. Matter of fact, I sort of feel like I am in that class. Little. But even little ships are much when God's Son is with them. And hey, you may be just the mama in the house taking care of those babies, but you got a big Jesus with you. You may be, sir, someone that's just working out an everyday job, bringing money home to feed the family. But he ain't too big to go to work with you. Amen. No matter what the employment is, he'll go to work with you. He's just interested in being with you if you're interested in being with him. Even though we are so little.